I always have to remind people that we're celebrating the conception of Mary in the womb of Anne. Sometimes people believe that we have to believe in an extraordinary thing of 8 days conceived to the 25th birth. That is not what we believe. The gospel text today can lend to that confusion, but what we are celebrating today is what makes the gospel text of today possible. Mary prepared to be the mother of Jesus from the moment of her conception, to be without sin, so that the body that Jesus receives within her womb would be without sin. The opening prayer today makes it clear what the church believes, that this grace afforded to Mary is because of what Jesus will do upon the cross and which was foreseen by the Father. For some people, this might be an extraordinary thing, like, wow, this is like theological gymnastics in order to make this possible. But I invite you to simply look at the other situations of Scripture, especially in the Old Testament. Where did the grace for the forgiveness of sin come for those who experienced in extraordinary ways moments of grace in the Old Testament? Where did that grace come from? The Holy Spirit isn't poured out upon all flesh in the fulfillment of God's plan until Pentecost, and yet the Holy Spirit was given in individual ways to division if blah, 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 individual people like Moses and prophets and kings received an outpouring of the Spirit in order to be about the work that they had been commissioned by God to do. Where does the grace come for this, if not from God foreseeing what his Son would do upon the cross? I forget which prophet it is, when God commissions him to do this work, and he says, I am a man of unclean lips in a land of unclean people. And God takes a burning ember from the throne of God and touches it to his lips. He could have done that to everybody, right? Where does the grace for this purging of sin come from, if not from the cross that God foresaw? It is not as extraordinary as we imagine, my brothers and sisters. Grace was present throughout the Old Testament, and its source was always Jesus. Even in the sacrifices of the Old Testament and according to the law, St. Paul in the letter to the Hebrews makes it very clear that none of these sacrifices could take away sin. They were only pointing to the one sacrifice that would take away all sin. And because they were done in obedience, they were acceptable, even though the sin remained. So that is what we are celebrating today. God's plan for the redemption of the world begins in a particular way in a celebration today. But in the first moment of Mary's being conceived in the womb of her mom, she would be prepared and preserved from sin so that Jesus would receive from her a sinless body to which to redeem the world. We see the witness of the archangel Gabriel. He doesn't come willy-nilly and say whatever the heck he wants to say, right? This isn't our modern world. Make it up, Gabriel, when you show up. Hey, deliver this news, but make it up as you go. He says exactly what he is intended to say by the Father. Hail, full of grace. Not partially full, not half full, not three-quarters full, but acknowledging the fullness of grace which she has received. If we look at the first reading, we can see also why Jesus calls his mom in the Gospel of John, woman, over and over again. In Hebrew, it's not a very pleasant sounding word, gune, right? Woman, gune. To many women, woman is not such a pleasant sounding word either, you know? It's like, what's up, woman? You know, it just doesn't really, just, you know. Anyway, the point being is gune, it's not a very popular sounding word, and yet Jesus speaks of his mother as woman, as gune. The wedding feast at Cana, woman, what does this have to do between you and me? My time has not come. There's not a common occurrence for a Jewish man to call his mother woman. But in the first reading today, we see that God is proclaiming the first glimpse of hope when he proclaims the fact that he will put enmity between you, serpent, and the gune. Now, presumably this is not Eve. Adam and Eve still had to deal with the consequences of their sin. But what they call this is the proto-evangelion, the that which comes before the announcement and proclamation of the good news of Jesus Christ. I will put enmity between you, devil, and the woman, the gune, and her offspring and your offspring will spar and fight. So we see in that first reading this promise of God already prepared. His moment, as soon as the fall happens, he is already planning their salvation, the redemption of their children. There is hope immediately following this consequence of sin, this ripple that has taken place. It's crazy to see how immediately different everything was. They used to walk in the garden together with God without fear every evening in the cool of the evening. There was intimacy between the man and the woman, perfect communion between them and God, a created perfect communion that existed without fear. This one sin, immediately fear enters in, a tearing of the relationship between God and man, man and woman, and even the tearing of the relationship within themselves and between them and all of creation. God loves us so much, he does not desire this to continue. But already at the beginning, as making the plan to send his son to redeem and reconcile the world with himself. May this celebration today continue in this season of joy, in which we joyfully prepare our hearts to welcome Jesus. Amen.